Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Laura Fox here, in for Jen Zamparelli all this week, and it's time to talk crime. Because tests and quarantines are a big concern these days, but there have always been risks involved in foreign travel, like being murdered. The Serpent on Netflix is one of the most unbelievable stories in holiday-making history. And Sophie White is here now to tell the true story of one man you definitely wouldn't want to meet in a hostel. Sophie, how are you?
I'm grand. Yes, I'm grand. Now, don't ask this man for directions. Don't ask him for help. Don't ask him where the internet cafe is, because Charles Sobhraj, who is the subject of this eight-part kind of drama from BBC and currently streaming on Netflix, is just not a guy that you want to hitch your backpacking wagon to in the slightest.
Yeah, okay.
He has covered a lot of ground in terms of murdering and travel.
Murdering and travel, I mean. Yeah. Like,
he's twinned his passions and to devastating effect, sadly.
So tell me all about Charles. I mean, he seems like a fierce man altogether.
He's fierce, good looking, which I think was part of his charm and also his success at being just a horrific creep for decades. It follows the life and crimes of this guy, Charles Sobhraj, who was born in the 40s, and his mother was Vietnamese and his father was Indian. And basically the father ditched his family and his mother ended up marrying a French army lieutenant. So Charles, as a kid, moved back and forth between kind of Southeast Asia and France, and he never felt like he belonged either in Vietnam or in Paris. And I think that really informed his kind of whole path, that he was just desperate to become wealthy and to become, like, you know, respected. But then obviously, especially at the beginning of his crimes, he just wasn't very good at kind of the stuff he did.
I know what you're saying there, like, he felt a little bit lost, you know, going between Vietnam and going between France and having like, you know, this real open, like, life. A lot of people don't turn to what Iggy Azalea would call the murder business. Like, I mean, when did this start happening? You go from petty crime into the worst of the worst.
Yeah, yeah. It just, it seems like he just has no scruples whatsoever. Like, and no, like, unable to care for people, I think, is kind of what's at his core. So he and his, like, newly pregnant wife, Chantal, left France and went to Asia in the early 70s. And, I mean, they actually left Paris because they were escaping a different arrest.
Oh, God.
So it's always chaos, basically. And it's what kind of started happening was that Charles Sobhraj was kind of constantly stealing passports and traveling on fake documents. And then at some point, he basically was like, you know what's kind of easier than just stealing the passports is just getting rid of the person altogether and taking everything they have. So that's kind of how it first started. So he basically ditched his wife, and by then they'd had his daughter, and he totally ditched them after they arrived in Mumbai in the early 70s. And he was kind of, I mean, it's kind of convoluted and complicated in that he sort of was robbing jewelry stores, and then he went on the run, and then he, like, you know, the left Chantal. He spent 2 years on the run using as many as 10 stolen passports. Like, it was hectic. He was busy, very busy.
And how did he end up getting caught?
Well, so basically, he was offing tourists through the 70s. In the mid-70s, he murdered his first victim, who was a woman called Teresa Nolden. She was from Seattle. And basically, he would kind of, like, spend time with the tourists, befriending them, often helping them or seeming to help them. So, for example, a lot of people would, you know, go to a party with Charles and then start to feel very unwell. And it transpired, then he'd start giving them medicine, being kind of like, oh, this will help with, you know, this is, you know, a stomach ailment that everyone gets when they're traveling. Have some of my medicine. And then they would just get sicker and sicker. And so basically he was making them ill from the beginning. He would spike their drinks and make them really violent. Ill, and then you know, take them out to remote locations, and it was just awful. He did finally get imprisoned in India for robbery, right? But they could never catch him on the murders. So he got something like 10 years for a robbery. And he, when he was in India, smuggled gems, because he often traded in gemstones. He smuggled gems into prison and therefore kind of ensured that he had like this kind of relatively comfortable life in prison. He had kind of like telly and nice meals and like kind of practically underlings doing his bidding and, you know, just had like a really grand old time for himself in prison. You know, meanwhile, like he'd killed like some say as many as 12 people across, you know, Southeast Asia, but like none of them had ever been proven. And he knew that he was still wanted for murders in Thailand. So he was due to be released from his Indian incarceration in like 1997, right? And he knew that there was this 20-year-long warrant for his arrest that had been issued by the Thai authorities. And he basically ensured that he would continue his sentence in India and run out the time limit on that arrest. I'm sorry, are you getting this? It's convoluted. But basically, when his time in the Indian prison came up, he decided that what he needed was to be rearrested in India so that he wouldn't be extradited to Thailand and face murder charges and potentially the death penalty.
And because everything seemed to be going so well for him in India, like he was just leaving a cushy life.
He's in the lap of luxury in India. Like, I think at all times, basically, Charles has a lot of plates spinning. I think we can understand that. He was an incredible multitasker when it came to finagling his way out of trouble. And yes. So basically, in India, as his term was coming to an end, he decided to throw a party in his New Delhi jail for all of the officers and inmates. I mean, the fact that he's just so audacious, like he just gets away with this stuff. At the party, he drugged everyone. So back to his old tricks, drugged everyone at the party and simply walked out of the prison.
What?
Because that is Charles all over. Of course he did. And so he went to a nearby restaurant and apparently just waited patiently there to get recaptured and therefore have his sentence extended by a further 20 years, which would mean that the statute of limitations in Thailand would expire and he could no longer be charged for all the murders he'd committed there.
He sounds like a genius, like in the most messed up way. But he sounds like a genius who is like, okay, I've done all these bad things, but I obviously don't feel that bad about them. I've got a really cushy life here. I'll do exactly what I did to all of these people in this prison and just live my best life.
Absolutely. Like, he's a genius in that way of like, you know, all of these guys, if they had just turned their hand to anything else, they would have been very successful. And you do know, like, you know that a lot of them CEOs are supposed to be psychopaths as well, but they've just directed their talents in a different way, in a different direction.
To being billionaires like instead of murderers. Like,
yes, exactly. I mean, which is worse? Because we have to say murderers, but, you know, eat the rich, I'd say. He then went on to do very well, continue to do very well out of his crimes. So he went back to Paris after he had been released in India. And, you know, he had this kind of weird celebrity and he like hired a publicist and charged huge sums of money for interviews and just for photographs and photo ops. And it's said that he charged $15 million for the rights to a movie based on his life. And I don't know. I mean, in America, there is, you know, a law that says you can't profit on your crimes. But, you know, evidently Charles was, you know, making some, you know, coin all over the place. But, right, this is so bizarre. Apparently, he was like bored of no longer being a wanted man. Like, he was feeling unwanted, perhaps, and feeling unloved by the press, because in 2003, so he was, you know, not long out of jail, a few years out of jail, he traveled to Nepal, which is apparently one of the last places he could still be arrested for murder. And he went to Nepal knowing this, like fully knowing it. He said apparently he wanted to set up some mineral water business, which, I mean, I just lol. And he was recognized by a local journalist, arrested for the outstanding murders of two North American backpackers that had happened in the mid-70s. And he was finally tried for murder and received a life sentence. And he's still there today, incarcerated. So
he was away with it.
He totally could have just, like, literally just gone back to France and shut up. But he just didn't. He doesn't have it in him to do that, I think. And you know what? He's actually still at it. Like, in prison, he has still got it. As I said, like, there's a lot is made of how attractive he was. And he is gorgeous. And the actor who plays him in the Netflix series, The Serpent, is a French actor called Tahar Rahim. And he is gorgeous. And like, you do need somebody with that level of charisma to play this guy, because this guy convinced other people to carry out desperate acts for him. Like, you know, he totally manipulated every single person he ever came in contact with. And as I said, like, in prison in 2008, he has still got it. In 2008, he announced his engagement.
What?
Oh yeah, like, prison never stops these guys. Like, I don't know, you know, they always get married in prison. Basically, that relationship didn't work out. Not to worry. In 2010, he married his interpreter, who also happened to be the daughter of his lawyer. And she was 20 years old when they got married, and he was 64.
Oh my God, that makes me sick. But I just don't understand how her outlad wasn't like, no, this absolutely isn't happening. I'm defending him on things that I definitely shouldn't be defending him on. I don't want to put you in this position. But obviously, he still has loads of rubies and loads of gems and was able to buy his. I'm hoping that it was buying his way and not her completely blinded by, oh, rank.
Very dodgy, but really worth watching. Like, it's, I think it's a great show. Like, in terms of it being a sprawling story, it does manage to, like, really keep you hooked. And it's also great because if anyone, like, kind of isn't in a position to go traveling these days with restrictions and obviously, you know, how we're all fixed after, you know, the last year and a half financially, this is literally, you know, the best kind of, you know,
it's like contraception for backpacking.
It's like the best ad for staying home, you know? It's like Wish You Were Here meets Banged Up Abroad, you know? Do you remember those shows? Banged Up Abroad.
I very much enjoyed Banged Up Abroad now, I won't lie, but I don't think they ever went into the level of detail that they did. Sophie White, they do not call you the murder girl for no reason on this show. You have every single bit of detail about this and you definitely enjoyed it. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's a bizarre story. The Serpent is on Netflix now, and as life goes back to normal, if you do go backpacking, make sure you get a decent tour guide, lads, because you don't want to end up in the hands of Charles. We'll be right back right after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.